it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the NHL podcast. I am your host, Rahil Vitalingam. Don't have my original co-host with me, Safir. My man is busy doing some schoolwork, stressing out. It's those times where all those exams and projects are due. So best of luck to Safir. But I think it's safe to say I have a pretty good consolation prize here in an absolute beauty of the EASHL community. The man behind League Gaming himself. There's many behind it, but he's obviously the one we all love. Not to say we don't love them all. My man, Brody. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing really well, man. I'm definitely looking forward to this for sure. This is pretty awesome. It's too bad Sphere couldn't join us, but hey, yeah. You know, school's only temporary.
Yeah, exactly. NHL podcast is forever. But listen, so I guess the best way to start off with this, Brody, is just, it's cool if I call you Brody. Do I have to call you LG McDonald or anything?
No, definitely. I prefer you. Yep. So by right. The first name, it's kind of cool.
So the best way to start this off, I think, you know, there's obviously going to be some viewers and listeners who don't know what, you know, League Gaming is or who you are. So why don't you give a little bit of an intro about yourself, you know, how you started out getting into NHL, each, all that stuff, and then why LG and League Gaming, how did it start? How did it come to exist?
So my name is Brody McDonald. Like you said, I've been with League Gaming since 2014. League Gaming's been around for almost 20 years. Originally, League Gaming started out doing like a kind of versus tournaments versus 1v1. It was more of like an organized system based off what the NHL games had to offer. So for me, I've been playing NHL since I was a kid. I remember playing on PC when the PC versions were an option.
I was going to say, damn, that was an option.
Yeah. I remember playing on the old Sega Genesis. Like, I remember playing all those times. And then, you know, Versus was a big thing. I was on PlayStation in like 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. And then 2009 kind of, you know, shook the world and changed everything for us when ESHL jumped into the mix and offered us to be able to play as our individual skaters, as individual people. And that kind of changed everything for us. Yeah. So, you know, for up until that point in time, like I said, League Gaming was kind of a 1v1 website and kind of went from there. But, mm-hmm. you know, since the introduction of 2009 and being able to play as your position and as an individual person, our focus shifted and we went to more of a team play style where, you know, everything is 6v6. You can play the position you want to play, and you're playing with, you know, five other people on the ice, which has kind of drastically changed the way I think, you know, video game hockey is kind of perceived and how it's mm-hmm. played drastically. I think it's kind of the better way to play it, in my opinion, but some will debate that, but I think it's better that way for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think, you know, I've kind of started it myself on Twitter with the whole, like, you know, Eshel Hut, like what's better. We talk about it. We're going to talk about it later with Terrio as well, but I think there's a great debate there. And I think NHL 23 definitely does have some potential for Eshel to close the gap a little bit. And we'll get into that a little bit later with you and I, but I kind of wanted to talk to you about, you know, League Gaming and everything. You said you joined in 2014. Is that correct?
Yeah. So prior to me joining leaguegaming.com, I was part of another community and another website. It was called the VHL. So it was Virtual Gaming Hockey League. It was the same concept. It was a 6v6 league. Mm-hmm. It just, the website itself wasn't functioning and the owners of the website were kind of going in a different direction. So myself and Triz got together, we partnered up and I joined League Gaming in 2014. So since that time, you know, at the time League Gaming was relatively small, you know, maybe roughly 1,200, 1,500 players. Mm-hmm. And since that time, it's skyrocketed. You know, in the heat of the pandemic, we were upwards to 10,000 active players that were playing in our leagues. Yeah, even to the point that, you know, CBC Sports Calgary actually reached out. And I did like a 10-minute interview based off of a Calgary-Edmonton online game that they wanted to fill their sports gap with because the NHL shut down. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. So we're upwards, you know, right now I'd say we're active between 6,000 and 8,000 players that mm-hmm. are playing in our free-to-play league or participating in our esport events that we're running through NHL organizations and that type of stuff. So our bread and butter has always been, you know, we're trying to offer simulated 6v6 hockey that allows a player to start out at the CHL level and kind of work their way through the tiers like you would if you were drafted in, you know, into the NHL. That's kind of the goal we have. You know, the concept comes from the fact that, you know, we're two Canadian kids that, know, love hockey and have followed it from a very long time. I have a pretty strong understanding of how the process works to go from the C to the A to the N. And in real life, we wanted to kind of provide that similar experience for a virtual career for those players that wanted to play that online.
Totally. That's awesome. And I also apologize. I don't know if you saw my cat's walking around my desk right now. I'm too much of a cat dad to push him off. So he's just going to sit here. And I'm going to make it manage. But yeah, so you talk about 10,000 players at the peak of the pandemic. That's absolutely incredible. And even back to 2007, 2008, 2009, even when Eshel first came out, NHL esports and esports itself wasn't really a thing. You told someone you played competitive video games, they kind of laughed at you a little bit. They were like, dude, you're a huge nerd. So you guys clearly had a vision back then, and I'm curious if you'd be able to kind of go a little bit more in depth on the vision back then, even the vision when you first came on, and what you guys kind of have going forward as that vision.
So it's kind of neat. So my partner is gamertag is Tristan. At the time when League Gaming first started out, he was actually part of 2K Sports, and he helped build part of their online platform, which is still used to this day for the NBA franchise. Yeah. So he's been part of this space for a very long time. So for us, it just started out with the fact that, NHL 09 and NHL 10, EA Sports offered 6v6 club tournament. And then after NHL 10, it never really came back, and there was always rumblings of maybe it would. So the reason to play, quote unquote, kind of dwindled. So we kind of thought it was an opportunity to maybe, put together some organized hockey, get some players together, and just kind of give more value to ESHL. Grinding the leaderboards and stuff in ESHL was never really as fulfilling as something we could offer for our website. Yeah. So that idea kind of started out in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it became more of bragging rights for us in a sense to say that we had the biggest league and we could provide the best opportunities. And we had the most players that could play in something that was so realistic. Career path wise, to what, the real NHL would be. There's the offline modes, like be a pro and be a GM are so fascinating. And there's such a big drawing to those modes that it's kind of that concept and that idea, but it's offered online with real people. You're trading real people. We have a salary cap built in that you're using, artificial money on our website. It's the same kind of concepts based off of those modes that we brought into this. But at the time, looking ahead, I never would have imagined that we're at a point now where we have, NHL esport events, and we have professional players that are making money to play this game. And it's such a jump. And, my partner likes to say all the time that, we were esports before esports were a thing. And I definitely like to agree with that. I think it's a really cool thing for us to be where we're at today.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And it's funny, I've told a couple of people this. I don't know if I've told you this, but my first LG experience, I think it was it might've been 17, maybe 18. And my buddy was one of the owners, and he was like, "Hey, do you want to just play Eshel a couple times a week?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And I ended up being on a team with iMups, who used to be a content creator back in the day. Yeah. Apparently me and Gren were on a team. Me and him still think to this day we were on a team, but our owners, you were never together. And we're how did we start talking to each other then? Cause it was never anything between. Yeah. I got drafted, funny enough, after my first season. And then I'm a little embarrassed to say, I hope we don't get too mad, Brody. I went comms quiet because I got way too busy and I was way too scared. I was younger back then. I was way too scared to be sorry, I can't play. So I just didn't reply to anyone, and I got a comms ban and banned from the website for 2 years. So a couple weeks ago, I think it was about a month ago, I noticed LG's kind of, I don't want to get back to it now, quickly log in with my account. I'm like, am I still banned? No, I'm good now. So I'm 100% signing up for this season. I'm excited for it. And to kind of, segue into, obviously you guys have your, I believe it's your 43rd Xbox season coming up. Yeah. That's freaking nuts. Congratulations first off to you and everyone at LG. That's amazing. But I think this year we've seen a lot of people complaining about the state of NHL 23 with the glitches, the bugs, everything wrong, people not getting hot rewards and times and all that stuff. And I've started to see more and more people say this might be the year for Eshel to close that gap with Hutt, because, Tugi24, I was on a Twitter conversation with him, and he's like, every game mode is a pain, but Eshel is tolerable because you're with friends, you're enjoying yourselves. It's fun. You know what I mean? So I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on that and say, for you, what makes Eshel so special versus the Huts, versus the franchise and the other game modes? And then do you think there is, like, you know, obviously Terrio is probably the prime example for an Eshel content creator. There's people like Warpig and Clapback Nick on TikTok who are absolutely incredible. Do you think there's potential for content creators for Eshel out there as well, especially with LG?
So for me personally, I still play hockey. I'm on the ice 2-3 times a week. Awesome. I've played since I was a kid. I love it. It's just such a part of who I am and what I do. And I find that jumping into ESHL, you know, I can create my player. He's 5'9" or 5'8", like I currently am, you know, and he doesn't weigh the same as me because he wouldn't be as fast, but you know,
I know that feeling.
You know, you can put the mustache on, you know, you can get the haircut, you know, he's right-handed. He's using all the same Bauer equipment that I currently use in real life. Like and then I jump in, last name, number on the back of the jersey. And it's like, I'm super immersed. And I get to be me playing left wing because I play left wing in real life. And it's just having that opportunity to extend my love for the game and playing the game to online makes ESHL something special to me. And I think there's a lot of people out there that kind of feel the same way. Years ago, we had a player reach out. He just was like super grateful for what we had to offer. And you know, his story was that he was a US Marine, injured, couldn't skate anymore because he didn't have use of his legs anymore. And his outlet was playing ESHL. And his outlet was playing that. And I was like, wow, this is way more than I ever imagined this could ever be. Jeez. And I think, you know, my plug to the NHL that's so strong, like so focused on, you know, GWC being 1v1 is, you know, Sixes hockey is for everyone. And that's their biggest thing, is they're so focused on hockey is for everyone. And I agree 100%, but you can expand that so much to, you know, players that physically can't play the game, they can play it online. And I think that's a big aspect of it. And that's why I love ESHL for that aspect. The social aspect of ESHL is second to none. In the very beginning, when you played 09 and stuff, there was community lobbies, which we utilized. And I felt that was a better system than what they currently have because it was way more social. You could meet people, you could scout, you could go from there. It was kind of cool. But the social aspect of ESHL is something you don't get in other modes.
Yeah.
And you know, if you look at how popular Discord's become, because it's a social using app for gamers, right? It's that same concept that I think, you know, jumping online, playing with some buddies, you know, kind of having a good time and, you know, talking about how your day was or what's going on with plans. It's super cool to be able to do that with people all across North America. And that's what, you know, League Gaming has to offer. And that's what Sixes has to offer compared to Hut. I enjoy the 1v1 side of things. Like, I don't want people to think that I'm of the stance that 1v1 has no place in esports, because I don't believe that at all. And, you know, being at GWC, like where we met in July of this year, like right after my birthday, it was kind of cool to, you see those players playing at that level and you're like, wow, like it's incredible that we have people that are like at that level. And you run into them, you play against them once in a while, you're like, I'm not even close. Like, the skill gap is so drastic. And I like the fact that they're becoming professional esports players. And I think there's a space for that in 1v1. There's a space for that in 3v3. There's definitely a space for that in 6v6. And I think that's the direction this all needs to go and continue to go. And, you know, we talk about content creators, and I think that, you know, the personalities is what really sells Sixes. So in our recent events that we ran last year, is we made face cams mandatory. So we have on our screen, you have the six guys, you can see their faces. So you see all the emotion of an overtime goal being scored by someone or being scored against someone. You see all of it. And it's the emotion that real hockey brings out that maybe the gaming side is missing. And I definitely think that, you know, the personalities are really going to sell this and move it forward. If you look at, you know, how popular like Spit and Chicklets is, for an example, they're interviewing professional hockey players and guys at past and present. It's the people and the stories and the personalities is what makes that podcast so drawing for me personally. You know, and esports is no different. Like Terry's a good example. Like Terry's
absolutely,
you know, a good guy, really crazy personality. I think someone like him, it could be very unique to the space. And it's nice to be able to have unique people like that are constantly pushing things forward. And there's a handful of content creators that I think could continue down that road and be that. We just kind of, it'd be nice to get to a point where there's more support for the mode, whether it be from EA Sports or from the NHL in general. Because, you know, GWC is such the focus that everyone focuses to Hut in that sense. And it makes sense. But I definitely think down the road, it'd be nice to see Sixes get a little more love. And then we could definitely grow that content creator side, especially for those, you know, unique characters that are playing Sixes.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know who Terrio is, we're going to interview him in a little bit. He's an absolute legend. So stay tuned for that. But I love your point.
He has probably the nicest hair.
Oh my God, bro. I'm beautiful hair. It's amazing. But I love your point there about like even just the emotion of Sixes compared to 1v1. Like when we were at GWC together, like the emotion in that stadium or that like venue was incredible. Like, you know, the tension when Regs came back and tied it. And all I was saying to Saphir is, I'm like, could you imagine this on a League of Legends, on a CSGO scale, where you have that 6v6 team on each side? You get the, you know, like there, I've seen, like, you know, on TikTok, I'll get bored and I'll go on, like, you know, most insane gaming plays of all time or something. And almost every single one is a team-based game where something insane happens and everyone loses their goddamn mind. It's insane how much potential there is there. And I really do hope, like you said, like, I do think, you know, we need some support from EA on that side, but then also the NHL on that side. Like, if we could have, like, you know, Caps Gaming versus, you know, like a Tampa Bay or something like that, even just in a Sixes environment, having them. I think the big thing is LAN. You have to have them across from each other if you can, because virtual is great, but there's just something about being right across the screen from someone, like that 1v1, like, or 6v6, like, you know, the other team's right there. You can see them celebrating. It just, it makes it that much more compelling.
It makes it more real. It has that realism to it, right? Like, no, I think it was Detroit a couple of years ago did like some of their events on their actual bench at their arena, right? It's just the immersion of real hockey versus video game hockey, I think, is something that as it continues to get better, it's just going to make that entire experience just way better for everyone involved.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, you mentioned Detroit there. I know you're all excited for this. The Anaheim Ducks Sixes tournament. That looks super exciting. For those of you who don't know, Brody will talk a bit about it. I know very little about it, but basically the Anaheim Ducks are in a 6v6 tournament. I think it's $6,000 for the first place team, $2,000 for the second place team. It's a couple divisions in there as well. So I just want to talk to you and get your, you know, just tell everyone about that. But also, this is what I'm excited for. I believe it's the Contenders Cup division. So people like me who think they're good, but then they go up against these pros and aren't that good, actually have a division for us where we can actually play. So tell us a little bit about that.
So, no, first off, hats to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks to get this going. It makes total sense for them to kick off the year with the first event. You know, Zegras is on the cover. You know, it's their game. They're owning it right off the bat. Yeah. You know, good on them. We've been in talks with them for years, like right from the very beginning when they decided to, they want to jump into sports, you know, into esports gaming. And, you know, they're one guy with very little budget, and look where they're at now. And it's been a lot of work for them, and I'm really proud of where they got to. And I'm really excited to see where they're going to go. This event for us it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of bread and butter that we're really comfortable. We're good with, you know, the face cams, the division, you know, our modified Swiss format, all those things are awesome. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that we said to ourselves is, you know, we're a community of, let's say, about 6,000 active players that are going to play in our free-to-play league.
Yeah.
Well, how do we draw those players into being more interested in playing in our esport events? Like, how does that become more exciting? How does that become more appealing to those players? And you know, what you just said is the best. Is like, no one wants to match up against Rex. Like, people don't want to
No,
do
thanks.
That.
I'm just backing out.
And you know what? The community is so new in the sense when it comes to esports and competition that the skill gap is drastic right now, and it's going to be like that for a little while because there's been no training ground. There's been no, you know, all we had was our free to play stuff, and it was good for a while and it served a great purpose to help us get us to where we are, but there's been no real training ground to get everyone kind of more on the same playing field. So one of the things we decided to do was like, well, let's have a Contenders Cup. Right now in our community, we do a really good job of tiering everyone. We know who's in the CHL, who's in the AHL, who's in the NHL. We know based off past esport events, we know player points, how successful an individual is. Tris has even put a script together that if, like, let's say six random guys that have played in esport events before get together and make a new team, he can give them a ranking based off of their individual success from previous events. Oh, yeah.
That's so insane.
So we have a pretty good handle on like where people should fall. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we want to grow this and we want to give opportunity. And one of the things that our free-to-play league does so well is if you play in the CHL tier and you get to the finals and you win four playoff series and you go to the Memorial Cup and you're playing against the four other best CHL teams in the world, it's super competitive because you're playing at the tier that you belong to play at. Yeah. And it's super competitive. They're like, you know, they're double overtime games. It's single goal games. And everyone's like, wow, that was like crazy hockey. It's
intense hockey, yeah.
Yeah. And so why not offer that at an esport level by just grouping those type of teams and players together so they can continue that like one goal game, that really competitive, sweaty moments that we're looking for, right? So this Contenders division is an opportunity for us to explore what that looks like in this space and offer way more opportunities for those players that want to be part of an NHL eSport event, but you know, don't want to play against the top tier teams and don't want to play against, you know, the Islanders Gaming or all those other, like, you know, top echelon teams.
Yeah.
But still wanted a chance to, like, win something and feel that they're valued and know maybe eventually work towards that. I think there's definitely purpose in, you know, having a top prize pool to be like, one day I want to be that. Like, one day I want to be Rags. One day I want to be, you know, I want to be Eki. I want to be those guys. I think that's very important, but you got to start somewhere. So we're trying to give an opportunity for those players to have somewhere to start so they can grow and get better and just we can continue this for, you know, long, long, long time.
I absolutely love that. I think the perfect, at least the, what it sounds like to me, about a week ago, I think it was, I was at the NHL 94 tournament in Toronto. So Daryl was on the podcast. He invited me, Safir, and Steven out. Unfortunately, Steven and Safir couldn't make it. But I went, and I was nervous because I'm like, dude, I haven't played 94 since I was like three or four. And then I haven't touched it again. So they have the same thing. Well, a little bit similar to what you guys have. They have a top tier division, they have a mid-tier division and a lower tier division, and depending on how you do in the round robin, you get put into one of these brackets. So I literally went 0-6 and I'm like, oh, like, I'm gonna have to play in the playoffs, this is gonna be fun. But because I got put in that lower division, I won my first two playoff rounds. Nice. And I was actually having fun, and I was like, holy crap, like, you know, now that I'm kind of in a decent division, I could play, I could compete, I'm enjoying myself. And I ended up, like, it was so much fun after that. And I think that's definitely a way to kind of get that, like, beginner level in, so to speak. You need to kind of have that entry point where they still are like, damn, like, I'm in an esports tournament, this is sick. But they have that, like, damn, like, you know, I want to go up against Isles GT next year, or, you know, I want to go up against Caps Gaming next year, whatever it is.
It's one of those things. It's even in real sport too, like, you know, I still try to play a couple men's league tournaments every year, and it's, you know, they always put us in our divisions based off of our playing experience and how we played before. Yeah. But it's like, on the other side of the coin, it's, you know, when Isles Gaming matches up with me, you, and a couple of our buddies, and they smoke us like 27-0, like, that isn't really fun for them either. Like, yeah, as much as it, like, it's cool, like, oh yeah, I had 14 points, cool. Like, it's not really fun for them either. Yeah. And, you know, as these events try to get more and more serious, I want to get to the point where we can hand out, like, the Rocket Richard for the Ducks event. Well, it's difficult to give out that event when the first couple of games you have a guy scoring 17 goals, right? It's not really a true representation of what that could be. And in the beginning, it could be luck of the draw based off of the format we're using. Mm-hmm. But if we can tier things right off the bat, you can just increase competition and increase that, the quality of game experience for everyone right off the bat. And that's something I think is super important for this space. We're a really small community. Like, we're not big, you know, and we're growing quickly, and it's important, I think, for everyone to really just get the same kind of experience, whether it's you're chasing $10,000 and you're one goal away from that, or you're chasing, you know, a signed, you know, Zegras jersey, and you're playing with your buddies against these guys that are at the same caliber as you. Like, I think those are very similar experiences, and it just gets people something to really look forward to, like you said.
Yeah, I think, listen, I don't have any plans for a team. I'd love to make one. If anyone listening to this, if you're decent at Chell, yo, let's make a hockey news team. Let's go for it, man. I absolutely love it. But I think there's one more question I kind of want to end off on, and I'm not going to sound a little biased here. I think this is the biggest one. I think this is kind of, if you ask any eShell player, or mainly any eSports eShell player, where they want eShell to be, I think this is it. Oh, we're losing Brody.
Nope, we're good.
We're good. I'm going to talk about 2K here. You mentioned it earlier. I think the NHL community's kind of been shown a little tease of it, especially with, like, No Sleeves doing the shows and that kind of stuff. Their eSports league is absolutely incredible. For those of you who don't know, basically every NBA team has a 2K team. And there's a 2K league. They all compete. There's, I believe there's 3v3 and 5v5. It's absolutely incredible to watch. It's so much fun. The NBA is involved as well. They have their own main channel and stuff like that. My big question for you is, we all want NHL together at some point. It would be awesome if we had a 32 league esports team, and, like, you had the Montreal going up against Toronto and all that kind of stuff. Do you think currently NHL has the potential to get there? And if not currently, do you think down the road they have the potential to get there?
So I think right off the bat, 100% we could do that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the LGHL, like, our free-to-play league, has been representing those teams for, you know, 43 seasons now. Yeah. The community itself definitely wants us, supports us. I think Jordan and what he's doing with the Islanders is a great example of, like, absolutely, if we had 31 more Jordans, there'd be no reason why this wouldn't be a thing already. Mm-hmm. And other teams are jumping aboard. You know, you saw Caps just do that same thing too. And and what Caps Gaming did with those players recently, like I brought them in the game, and all that stuff is incredible. I think the fear that maybe the NHL might have, or these or teams might have, is, you know, the dollars and cents that goes into doing this right away. And mm-hmm. I think when they look at the 2K league as an example and go like these players are making an actual salary.
Yeah.
Maybe a deterrent to some of these teams to say, we don't have the budget for that.
Yeah.
But I really think in the early stages where we're at, it's like that you don't need to do that. You don't need to pay these players $50,000 a year to play for you at this point. Like mm-hmm. we're not there yet, but it doesn't mean we can't start. We can't sign contracts and get them going and go from there. If the NHL is listening, my pitch is to, you can also broaden your branding and your brand sponsorship. So like if the Boston Bruins had a sixes and a threes representative esport team, they don't have to be the Boston Bruins. It could be whatever someone else's club name, but it's like as a farm team affiliate, you know, like Providence Bruins are the Boston Bruins affiliate in the AHL. So why don't we just have an esport affiliate that's whatever the team name may be. It's a way to expand it. And the other aspect of it too is like the community in Europe is huge. They have a very, and you know, the NHL is constantly like, they just went to Europe to play games, right? They want to expand to Europe. Mm-hmm. Well, do it with esports. It's easier to do that. No, you can have a complete other European division. You could probably get 32 Finnish teams, 32 Swedish teams, get 32 teams from Germany, get 32 teams from Canada. Like they could do whatever they really wanted. Like the sky's the limit when it comes to actual affiliation and branch it and go from there. Obviously, basketball outweighs hockey like head and shoulders in America and viewership, and that's always going to be the case. And
it's just realistic,
And at the end of the day, hockey's hockey. It's going to be what it is, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be to the same scale, money wise, as what the 2K league is. But without question, this community from North America and from Europe could support that style of league without question. Yeah. And the professionalism of our players as time continues to go on and on is increasing drastically. So the vetting process to bring in good people to represent the NHL brand, which is obviously super important, is really easy to do, especially when these opportunities are coming more and more and more. I've been with this community for a long time. Like I think mm-hmm. it's been 14 years of like running Sixes events for me personally. And the amount of players that I could put in positions to represent NHL teams, and they do a good job, and on the ice as people, like I could fill 32 teams no problem right now.
Yeah.
And I think that the NHL just needs to take that first leap. 1v1's going really well, and I think if the NHL can support the teams and helping them get their gaming brands off the ground, mm-hmm. A day will come where there'll be the Islanders 1v1 guy, the Islanders 6v6 team, the Islanders 3v3 team.
Yeah.
And why not, right? Like that's the space is there. They just need to take the jump and really believe in this community, and it could really go a long way. And I'm looking forward to that day. It's something that I think that's what motivates us, is mm-hmm. we continue to push ourselves to get to the point that we could hopefully help bring that league to fruition and help these dreams come true for these people. And I'm looking forward to that day for sure.
Yeah, that is definitely that would just be an incredible day when I'm going to be optimistic when that happens. Like, I think about all these other great esports, League of Legends, for example. They have no problem selling out in Toronto because League of Legends is just so big. And I know people are going to be like, oh, well, globally, that's a much bigger thing than hockey, which is correct. I'd argue hockey is bigger than League of Legends in Canada. So I don't think you'd have any problem where it was like, if you had the finals of 6v6 in Toronto, you'd probably be able to fill the Scotiabank Arena and have a bunch of people, have it set up at Center Ice and everyone's watching. You sell the tickets for like 10, 20 bucks each. Like that adds up. You fill up an entire arena full of fans watching competitive esports, NHL. Like, people are going to notice that, and that's going to get talked about everywhere, and it's just going to exponentially grow esports even more.
And even too, like the Leafs, for an example, mm-hmm. Scotiabank is one of the big sponsors. Obviously, it's on the building. It's like that's another opportunity to promote that sponsorship and to grow that relationship. It's just another opportunity to for those NHL teams to grow their branding out and go from there. And it's, again, I agree with you 100%. I think it's, the game is built for it. Like 6v6 hockey is fast. It's fun. It's with, it's chemistry is so important. Like all these teams that are successful are teams that have been playing together for so long. Mm-hmm. So I think when you watch it on screen and you go like, that was an incredible play, and it wasn't just like rags on the controller. Like it was five other people had to be where they had to be and push the buttons when they had to push the buttons to make that happen is a pretty incredible feat when you watch it live. Yeah. And at the top level, it's art is what it is. So
it really is. And I think the perfect way to end off that is, like, you know, you have those moments where, you know, you make three or four passes and it's in the back of the net. And even if you're just playing Ischel for fun, everyone in the party is like, that was nice, boys. Good job. You put that on a screen in front of 18,000 people at Scotiabank, I guarantee you that arena is going to be popping.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. But listen, Brody, I just want to take a moment. Thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man. We really appreciate you taking a little bit more than a couple minutes to hang out here with us. Your insight's awesome. Just your awesome guest. Thank you for having me. But I'm losing my mind here. Thank you for being on the podcast. And I'm definitely going to be signing up for LG this season, I think.
So, I'm looking forward to it, man. Yeah. I really appreciate it too. Like, you guys taking the time to have me on and talk about the stuff. I could talk all day long about sixes and all this stuff. So I really appreciate you guys having me on as well.
No, absolute pleasure, Brody. And next up, we're going to have Terrio. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one for sure.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and now I am joined by an absolute goat of the EASHL community, my man Terrio here. If you guys haven't been to his channel, all I'm going to say is you miss the most entertaining streams humanly possible. This guy is a legend at goalie. He's a legend when he's playing skater most of the time, sometimes not. But Terry, how you doing, man? Welcome on in, dude.
Thank you so much for the beautiful introduction. And always. I'm doing well. How are you? Happy Diwali.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I've been doing pretty well. I'm just got home, just, you know, hopped on the pod, got to get Terry on. So super excited to have you on and just kind of talk a little bit of Chell. So I guess we'll start off by just, you know, talking about, like, you know, for any of our listeners and viewers who don't know you, Terry, just a little bit of an introduction to yourself. You know, how did you get into streaming, you know, especially NHL? It's such a niche game. How did you start that off? And then, you know, like, why goalie? Like, where did that come from?
Okay. Streaming, I'm about to hit 5 years on Twitch in December 13th. I'm pretty sure is the date that hits 5 years. One of my friends just hit me up, wanted to do it. And I said, if we're going to do this, let's get into it. Like, let's go serious.
Yeah.
And almost every day since then, it feels like there's probably like a handful of days I've taken off. But
yeah,
consistency has definitely been a key to the growth of the channel. NHL hockey in general has always been the sport. My dad grew up playing it, so it was like, just, we grew up playing it.
Yeah,
we had a pond around the corner, so every winter we were there. If not, we were in the driveway playing hockey. It was that, like, that ingrained in our lives.
Yeah.
So whether it was ice hockey, ball hockey, road hockey, something, we were always playing. So consuming hockey in that aspect was always big for us growing up. And then, getting older, needed a new outlet. As you get older, you can't do what you used to do when you were a kid. So
you gotta change it up a little bit.
Oh man, I can't play hockey like I used to. I think I could, but I know that I couldn't. It's one of those things. I would love to get back into it. But
you think you can, and then like you try, and like a minute in, you're like, oh my god, everything hurts. There's no way in hell I can do this.
So winded. It's like, what is going on here?
That's crazy. And a little bit about like why goalie as a streamer. Like, what was it about goalie? Like, did you play goalie at first growing up, or was it just something about the position that you're just like, man, like I want to be like an Ischel goalie? Like, what kind of got you there?
So it's actually hilarious. I was about 10 years old. Playing, it was house league hockey, nothing serious. But our goalie at the time was so bad. Our coach was like, who wants to play goalie? Anybody on the team, please. And I'm that kid, instantly hand in the air, like, pick me, let me go in net.
Yeah.
So from that point on, like, I fell in love with goalie. Like, I'd have posters of Patrick Waugh on my wall, like that kind of stuff. Him and the Olsen twins were like the two posters on my wall.
The Olsen twins. Oh, I love it.
Like, no shame. No shame.
Dude, honestly, that's an awesome story, man. Especially Patty Waugh. Like, I couldn't think. Like, there's some legends out there. Patty Waugh is definitely one of them for all the goalie fanatics out there, I think.
I mean, I'm an Avalanche fan too. So yeah. he was iconic. There's no going around it. Like, there's a few Broder, Hasek of that era that are like the icons, but Patrick Waugh will always have a spot in my heart as like that number one.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all, man. But we talked a little bit, you know, you talked about starting, you know, streaming and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about like how that came about, but also like, you see in, you know, like the Twitch space, you know, TikTok now, you know, anywhere there's content being created for NHL, so many people focus on Hockey Ultimate Team. After that, it's typically franchise. ESHL really doesn't get that much love. It's kind of, you know, it's growing, it's getting better, but like it's never really been that like popular, most streamed category, most watched category. So like, what made you want to do ESHL so much? And like, talk to me about like the pros and cons of doing it as a content creator.
So that was always the game mode we played. It would always be like two or three of us playing.
Yeah.
It was never just me by myself playing NHL. Even back in like the early NHL 14 days where you could make your builds and add like the plus fives and plus sevens.
Those are the days.
I swear, me and my buddy would buy those plus sevens the day we could and add them to our builds. That way we were like that little step ahead.
Yeah.
But we only played twos and stuff like that. It wasn't competitive, but just us dicking around.
Having fun, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So always loved that game mode. I didn't even know about Hutt, to be honest, until like a couple of years ago, where it was like, what the hell game mode is everyone else playing? Like, where are you guys? But yeah, like the aspect of ESHL, just or EASHL, playing with your friends, like that is just so much fun. You get those reactions out of the group where you wouldn't get that if you're playing by yourself.
Yeah,
it's like a funny moment by yourself is not the same when it's shared by four, five, six people. Like that, it becomes like a you're howling, you're laughing. Like the other day, I let in a goal on a penalty shot, and me, Shekel, another dude in our party, we're all like just crying, laughing. And it's like, if I was by myself, that wouldn't be the same. Like there's no.
I do agree with that too. And I think like, even like, you know, like me and Terry play, you know, once a while and we can, you're mainly on PlayStation, I'm on Xbox, but like, I feel like every night or every day we play, whether it's 3 games, 5 games, 10 games, there's always one moment where everyone's laughing. And it reminds me of, now this is my era, at least it reminds me of like playing like Call of Duty back in its prime, like COD 4, Modern Warfare 2, where you had the whole group together. You guys were shooting the crap, just joking around, and like there were all these laughs and stuff. And especially with Hutt, like I think the big thing with Hutt is, you know, the packs, you know, everyone loves seeing the big pulls and stuff like that, and it's awesome. But like, I can't tell you how many ESHL clips I watch on TikTok, and it's just something funny or something just like, even if it's a glitch, if that happens in Hutt, like you're like, haha, like that's funny, and like your chat laughs with you. But when you have like 5 or 6 guys just like enjoying the moment together, it really makes it that much more enjoyable, I think.
I feel like Hutt guys get more upset about the glitches than ESHL guys do.
ESHL guys just are just like, yep, that's NHL, whereas Hutt guys are like, oh my god, like I can't get ultimate in Rivals now, I hate this.
Oh dude, it's crazy. But yeah, they take that game mode way more serious. But we do have the like LG and esports side of things where people do take it competitive, and when a bad bounce happens, that's a little more like, come on EA, get it together.
Exactly. There's both sides of it. Like I think yesterday I was playing with a couple of guys. I was playing with Davos, I was playing with Endo and Wheels. And like we ran into this one group, and literally it like we rage quit after 3-0 because all they were doing was just straight lining by us, and it was like sweat mode. And I'm like, dude, the game's been out for 2 weeks. I understand a lot of people want to grind and stuff, but I'm just like, that's not fun. I enjoy playing competitive games that are fun, and like LG, you know, that's the competitive side of it. That's the tryhard side of it. Yeah. Like this was like 8:30 on a Monday, and these guys were playing like it's like the LG NHL finals. And I'm like, bro, come on, man.
Yeah, welcome to my stream, bro. That's how it is every game. People are fighting for their lives.
It's awesome, man. But listen, so you kind of talked a little bit about, you know, LG this year and like the glitches and the bugs and the things that are unexpected, right? And I think one thing that was unexpected this year, it's not the glitches, it's not the bugs, because like, if we're being honest, we kind of always expect that with NHL in some way, shape, or form. But this year, it's the year of the goalie so far. Like in EASHL, even in Hutt, like goalies are so much better. But like in EASHL, I've seen you talk about it on streams about how it's just like, even you're like, dude, I should not be making some of these saves. It is getting ridiculous at this point. So I want to ask you, like, what are your thoughts on the current state of, you know, being a human goalie in NHL 23? And then do you think EA needs to change anything, make it better, make it worse? What are your thoughts on the overall kind of topic of that?
Yeah, so I think goalie is overall in a good place. I would rather my goalie make that outrageous save than let in 9 out of 10 shots like last year.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can agree with that. Last year's game, it was the forwards game. It was goal scorers. Mm-hmm. No goalie had a good save percentage. And yeah. That's not real. And people complain they want this game to be realistic. That's one of the things that needs to change is goalies need to be good.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like this year is. Now, there are times where you make an outrageous save that you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have made that save. Mm-hmm. But it's better than being in position and it going through you and you're like, wait, what? I should have made that save.
Yeah, that's true. Especially me. Like, I've played very little goalie. Like I dabbled a bit in towards the end of 22 and like, I can't tell you how many times, like, I'm just like, dude, like not even that, like my guy's in the vicinity. Like it's like he shoots low, like blocker and like I'm in the butterfly in position and it still goes in. So I totally agree with you on that. And I think the big thing that like people are kind of getting surprised by is one timers are, I've seen 2-1 timers go in initial so far. Like they're still prevalent. They're still good, but I think it's just, people are seeing goalies make these saves and they're getting frustrated because that was the way to score. That was always the way to score. You just cross crease it, one tee it, and it was in the back of the net. Now you're having to find new ways to score, whether it's, you know, like going far low side now and all this other stuff. So I think it is a bit of adjustment for non-goalies. But do you think it's more like, do you think players in Ischel agree with you? Or do you think players in Ischel are kind of like, nah, man, like you got to nerf these goalies? Like, what do you think the other side is saying?
I honestly think a lot of the good players still find ways to score.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. It's like, if you're good at the game, you're going to find the ways to score. It's not the same every year. It's not the same glitch goals. And it's not the same, like backhand wraparounds are still OP.
Yeah.
There's certain things you have to do, but overall, like the one timers, heat seekers, they're not what they were. And I think
that's true.
I think that's a good thing, is because last year your goalie would freeze up, you'd get stuck in a position, and you're getting beat because of someone else's their superstar ability. And it's like, well, why is that affecting me? Like my goalie should not be impacted by your traits, which was weird last year. So I think this year it is in a way better place in that aspect where those aren't as overpowered. I don't even think I've seen one heat seeker go in. Maybe like a point shot that was like weird, but not like an actual step over the blue line heat seeker like last year. That's all guys would do.
Yeah, it's true. I've seen one timer. I think the only, like last year it was heat seeker. It was one tee. It was close quarters. Mm-hmm. At least this year so far for me, it's only been close quarters. That's the issue. And that's kind of like, just like, okay, like, that's the only thing I'd have an issue with if like I was playing goalie, but everything else, like I'm making heat seeker saves, I'm making one tee saves, and I'm like, that's how it should be. Now, if my goalie is like an 80, like if my guy is crappy overall, then that's understandable. But like when I have the X factors and the superstar abilities to make myself on par with your goalie or with your player, I should be able to make those saves like you're saying. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think like I've seen dudes take the one tee trait and rip clappers. So I'm curious that if you build your character, like your player to be a shooter, you put your traits into actual shooting and you get set up and take one timers. Are you going to be dropping rockets like last year?
Yeah.
Is that going to be is that what it is? And you have your guys who are going to be the fast skaters to create ice. Like, so it's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how the year develops. We're still early in it. So metas are still being discovered. It looks like the playmaker build right now, or not the playmaker, power forward build right now. Is untouchable. You put unstoppable force on that and you don't lose the puck.
Exactly. That's, and you know what, like we're talking about goalies right now, we won't dabble into it, but like the player side, there's some issues. I'm seeing 93 overall or 93 speed guys getting caught up too.
Yes.
And that's a different story.
I mean that's just the state of the game in general. And like that goes to video games. Like, give me a video game lately that's come out and not had any bugs. Madden, you've got to wait like 2 weeks before a franchise update comes out so you can even do that stuff. They even tell you to wait.
Yeah. The COD beta is getting kicked out of every day.
Overwatch 2 was a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, so no video game launches perfectly. And I think people don't I mean, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I get being upset about it, but it's one of those things. You got to be patient.
You got to be realistic with like the, and like you can have an issue with games being like that, but if they're all like that, you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
You're kind of out of luck here, man. Like I totally get that. You did touch upon the current state of the game.
Ooh.
I heard you mention that, and this is where, this is what's got a lot of people heated. So if you are not on Twitter, on Facebook, or any social media, a lot of people are upset with the game, whether it's Hutt, you know, just everything wrong with Hutt, packs not coming out on time, rewards not coming out on time, game modes being like today, like the 3-on-3, like rivals game mode came out. I think in 5 minutes they changed it to 5-on-5.
I heard that actually.
It's crazy. And then you get into the glitches, you get into the bugs. I saw yesterday, I don't know if you saw No Sleeves' video, but his Hutt team basically looked like NHL 94. Like his guys were just stuck like this, like with the puck, like just It was a absolute disaster. And I mean, you know, all these bugs and glitches are getting out of hand. I think the mass community does expect it a little bit with EA especially, but this year it's gotten out of hand. And I've heard some people even say like, man, like, you know, we knew NHL 23 was going to be kind of like a baby step to NHL 24. That's going to be the big one. Yeah. But like, how disappointing is the Eshel side of things, Terry?
I mean, like yes and no. It's weird because the gameplay itself, it feels a lot better than it did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they made more gameplay like adjustments than they did even cosmetics. Like the game itself, it looks like a rewrapped 23 down to be a pro. Everything like that looks exactly the same, but it feels different. And that's like the big changes that we got.
Yeah. And I think that kind of segues. This was kind of a two-parter. I wanted to kind of, you know, set you up a little bit here, but like a lot of people are starting to say like, you know, like I can't play Hutt. Franchise is a mess. Be a pro. I just started a Be a Pro series on YouTube. It's coming out this week. Like everyone in my chat was like, this is the same thing. Like they didn't change anything with Be a Pro. So if Eshel is this one game mode where it's all right, let's say, but also I've had even people say to me like all the game modes suck. Eshel, I can play with friends, and playing any video game with friends, I personally believe makes it 10 times more tolerable.
Yeah.
So do you see this year as a year, you know, especially with, you know, growth on Twitch, TikTok, all this kind of stuff. Do you see this as a year that like Eshel can make a push into maybe not beating Hutt and all these other game modes as like the more played or the more watched game modes in terms of content creation? But do you think it can make a step in kind of closing that gap a little bit?
Absolutely. Especially with like we just saw Caps, like the Washington Capitals get involved with Caps Gaming.
That was awesome.
Things like that are growing the Eshel side of things massively. And that's going to be big. The more teams get involved, the more people are going to want to be involved in that.
Yeah.
So I really think that's going to help grow the community. And I mean, just being able to have fun with that game mode, not take it seriously as well is huge. You get the guys like Carpig and Clapback Nick who are prime examples of like why the Zegras is in the game. Things like that, where that's what they're going for. They're trying to have a good time, and they're growing massive audiences on TikTok and YouTube because of it.
Exactly. So
it's not just Twitch. We see Nasher come in, and it's like he pulls 1,000 viewers playing anything.
Yeah.
But I think that there's going to be the dudes that start to stream, and they bring that content from YouTube. They bring it from TikTok over, and they start growing themselves. And I think that'll be massive for the community as well.
Yeah,
it's the rising tides raise all ships process that, like, you know, the more better people do, the more it grows, the more it helps everybody as a community.
Exactly. And you mentioned Carpick and Clapback Nick too. Like those are two Eshel accounts that, like, Clapback Nick I've followed for a while just because I was like, dude, this is like some of the clips he posts are just awesome but fun. It's not some dude sweating to score 8 goals and make someone rage quit. He's just having fun. He's scoring stupid goals. He's insane stuff. And then Carpig, actually, funny enough, he followed me on Twitter last night.
Really?
I was like, oh, like, okay, cool, I'll follow you back. And I was like, okay, his bio says he's got a good TikTok account. And I go look, and I'm like, dude, this kid's scoring like stupid goals. And it's just that fun aspect of Eshel that I think really has a lot of potential, because like HOT can be fun, but like in reality, it's PAX, it's gameplay if you're good, mm-hmm. and then like you don't see funny HUT montages. Whereas I've seen a ton of funny Ischel montages so far, and especially people like you mentioned. Like, I think that's going to be huge for the game, and especially, you know, people like you. Like, I mean, you do this all the time. Hey. You know, you've been grinding it and all this kind of stuff, but like, I can't tell you how much fun I have watching your streams. And like, those are the kind of things that are going to really help push Ischel, I think, this year.
I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, the more we can have fun with it is definitely big. Cause like, I feel like it's contagious. When you're having fun, other people feel that. Yeah. And like, when you're spending a couple $100 to open up packs and get your team, and then you get bugs that are like causing you to lose games, I get why you're upset. Like, it does make sense in that, in that aspect. But like, yeah, well,
go try
having it just becomes a TikTok clip when it happens for us. Like, that's the difference between the two, is like, one of our guys got hit. I think he spun around three times.
And you're like, boom, that's hilarious. Everyone's going to love that.
Yes, exactly. Like, that's the difference. Whereas like something like that, your guy loses the puck after a hit like that, and you're like, what is wrong with this game?
Yeah.
Like, why did I lose it?
And so, I think the nice thing about Ischel that I like is you get like all this fun stuff, but then when, you know, I like playing competitive too. You like playing competitive. Mm-hmm. That's where you have the LGs, the other leagues, the competitive tournaments. That's where you have that side of it. But then you can also have like the fun side. Whereas with HUT, like, I don't think like there's no fun. It's just grind to open packs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For packs and rewards is like what the grind is for. And I get like that is fun in a sense, because it's like the competitive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's similar to the LG, where it's like you do it for the competitive side, but it just, I don't know, it's a weird place when you're spending that much money on it, and the game is in a weird state. Like, you can't even stick lift right now.
Yeah, it's well, apparently there, I've seen some people talking about a secret tuner that apparently you can stick lift. I'll try it out tonight. We'll report back in a couple of weeks, guys.
Interesting.
But yeah, one final question, Terry. So I mean, I think personally, at least I can speak for myself, and I'm not trying to, you know, butter you up or anything, but you know, you have all these NHL streamers out there, and you're, I think, one of the ones that a lot of people can relate to, because you're just having fun. You're just enjoying yourself. You're just vibing. You're having laughs and all that kind of stuff. So for anyone out there who's like, you know, whether it's, you know, they're like, hey, I want to get into NHL content creation, I want to get into Ischel, like, you know, making clips for Ischel and that kind of stuff. Like, what's your advice to them? And then also, do you think that this NHL creator pond, we'll call it, do you think there's room for more fish, we'll say?
Okay. Absolutely. There's room for more people. Definitely. Like, I mean, you see it right now. There's so many creators on NHL, and it's so nice to see it. It's the better for the community, the more people there are just streaming the game itself. And as far as a new streamer coming into it, get a camera, get a microphone, turn on your console, stream from that, start there.
Yeah.
I'd say that. Look on Facebook, eBay, something like that to find a cheap camera and start streaming. That's where 90% of us started. Nobody had an elaborate setup. It takes time to build that.
Absolutely.
If you've got it, hey, by all means use it, but like, if you're just starting out and you got a console and it's like, what do I do?
You don't need a $5,000 setup.
No.
I totally agree. I think even my first like five streams, I was playing like Modern Warfare off my Xbox One. And it was just me talking and like, you know, people liked it. And I was like, okay, I'll invest in Elgato. And then I started streaming from my laptop. And then you kind of slow work in baby steps. But I think that's one thing people need to like, you know, if you want to do it, just go live. Doesn't matter how. Doesn't matter how it looks, just go live and start from there. And then, you know, you'll get there, man.
Yeah. Audio is your most important thing. Focus on that first.
That's why I got a new mic. It sounds so much better.
Dude, it's crisp.
Appreciate it.
But yeah, that's one of the biggest things is a lot of people just put you on as background noise. So make sure your audio sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. After that, just grind, set a schedule. You do you.
Make yourself unique. Have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Set a schedule. Post clips online or content online in other places, whether it be clips or other outside content. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to tell you that to grow. That's huge. But being consistent with your stream, when you stream, is big. Like, that's one of the biggest things I could tell somebody is make sure you're consistent with how often you do and when you do it, because people need to know where to find you, when to find you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I can't think of a better way to cap off the episode, Terry. Listen, honestly, though, like, thank you for taking the time to just sit down, you know, tell us your thoughts, tell us how you feel about the game and just, you know, overall Ishul in general. I think a lot of viewers and listeners are going to learn a lot of things from you, gain a lot of insight. And I mean, who knows, mm-hmm. maybe when we go play later today, Stick Cliffs will be back and, you know, I can actually play defense again.
We'll see. Hey, fingers crossed that Stick Cliffs are back. But thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely, Terry. And yeah, guys, everyone, thank you for listening. We really do appreciate you guys taking the time to watch or listen, wherever you guys have been doing that from. Thank you very much and have yourselves a wonderful night.